Lord, I just thank you that you're here. And Lord, it's just, I just have a sense tonight that you're just going to really minister to us and just refresh us. And Lord, enlighten our eyes to some, Lord, just some avenues we can close. How the enemy just can get in there. And Lord, we not recognize what's going on until you, Lord, just show it and you come and you expose it. Holy Spirit, just be in our midst. Just fill this place. Lord, bind away from our midst, Lord, all the avenues of the evil one, Lord, the air, the ground, under the ground, in nature, fire and water, and all their games playing and all evil communication we bind. Come fill us, Lord. I was thinking of when they went out into the land and the 12 men that were selected to go spy the land of Canaan. And when they came back, 10 of the 12 men speaking to the whole congregation were discouraging them because of the giants in the land and the enemies that they would have to face. And there are only two that we know. You know, we know the story of Caleb and Joshua. We're only two out of all the 12 that said, hey, we need to go up and do this. But all the congregation listened to the other 10. Now, I don't know the exact numbers. How many, you may have heard it, Brent or Gary, that actually came out of Egypt. I've heard numbers close to 1 million, up in the 100,000 of the people that actually came out, the children of Israel, right?
I think it's like 3 million.
All right. Think about as many as 3 million people. They send just 12 people before them to come back to report what the land looked like. God had already told them he was going to give them the land. And out of 3 million people, 2 believed. And you know, there's always a remnant of the people of God. And I'm saying that because there's so few of us here, which is okay, because numbers have nothing to do, the number of people has nothing to do with how God is going to move. Okay? So we are the ones who believe. Out of the 3 million, we are here. But I just want to say that as by way of encouragement. I went back and read it just to make sure. And sure enough, after these guys said, you know, Amalek is living in the land, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites are living in the hill country, the Canaanites are living by the sea. It says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people. They're too strong for us. So they gave the sons of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out. And this is what, then all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried and wept that night. All 3 million of them received a bad report and they believed the bad report. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, of those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. And they spoke to the congregation of the sons of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. The Lord is pleased with us and he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. But all the congregation said to stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared over the tent of the meeting. So after they gave that word, you know, this the Lord has given us this, let's go up, don't fear. They said, all right, let's kill them. And so the end result is they are the only two, Caleb and Joshua, that actually got to go into the land. For 40 years, God said the rest of them would wander around until that whole generation died. And Moses didn't even get to go because he dishonored the Lord. So 3 million people died over a period of 40 years and they did not get to experience God. But two did. Okay? Say that. We that are here, I think, are really going to experience the Lord tonight, because one thing you put on my heart to talk about is, and these are just so familiar passages to us, but it really is where we live daily. And it's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is what I do a lot with people in my ministry and in counseling. is I try to help them see the open doors of the evil one and how the evil one is getting into their lives. And for most of us, including myself, probably 90% of what we deal with, I'm not clued in that it's warfare until after, way after the fact. You know, doesn't it seem like after all these years we'd be able to ease, oh, I catch that thought, Jesus, that's not the Lord. But we don't recognize it until it's already settled in, until we begin to believe it. We believe the bad report and the enemy becomes so big in our eyes that we just get overwhelmed no matter what it is. And it says a couple of things in here that I want us to talk about tonight. But also, I really feel like the Lord wants us to minister to each other. You know, at the altar rail, we're going to do it in context of the Eucharist. We're going to get prayer, all of us, including the priests and deacons, because we don't get prayer much. And I really believe what the Lord is going to do is give us greater revelation in our lives of how the enemy's coming in and some of his schemes against us, that we can recognize it quickly or sooner than we normally do than after the fact. Because I know if y'all were here to hear, I don't know, when did the bishop talk about the devil's? It was last week when he talked about the devil's tail, right? I think it was the day of the tornadoes that came, you know. And the word of the Lord was watch out for Satan's tail because that's what's going to be bad. And sure enough, it was that first line of storms that came through. It was the last line that came through that was really so bad. And then he read that scripture in Revelation chapter 12 that talked about Satan taking his tail and taking a third of the angels out of heaven that fell with him. And I'd never heard this before, but he was saying, you know, evidently he had talked to them about rebelling against God. They may have said yes at one time, but then changed their mind. But he took his tail and took them with him when he fell. So a third of the angels was cast down from heaven. So sometimes, and it really happened in my life after my healing, I had this big, awesome healing with my migraines and stuff like that. It was after the fact when I kind of let my guard down a little bit and thought, well, this is just, I'll just put it on cruise control, that the tail kind of came and whack, kind of got me. And that was a period of time there where I would just wake up in the middle of the night just stressed out, or wake up in the morning just overwhelmed with stuff, you know. And it was a warfare in my life. And I didn't recognize it as a warfare, you know, until the fog settled in and I thought, wow, this is warfare, you know. So this is what some of the things he just says. Again, simple, but it's not about as much about what I'm going to say is what I think that God really wants to do in us and just reveal to us. For though we walk in the flesh, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And, you know, the speculation is to think about or to make questions about, okay? And that's one of the ways that the enemy hits us, is put these questions in our mind about God and about who he is in our lives, about whether or not he's really going to do what he said, or whether he's going to fulfill what he said he's going to do, or things like that. You follow me? That's, you know what a speculation is. It's questions. And he fills our mind with those things. And any of the lofty thing or heavenly thing raised up against the knowledge of God or who God is. That's how it comes. We're destroying them. Everything that's raised up, we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We're ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. So what does this mean to take things or these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ? Okay, that's what we're going to do tonight. Because when we go to the Eucharist, that is the obedience of Christ. When he said, it is finished. I remember when I first memorized this scripture years ago, and my first experience with any Christian organization or group was a group called the Navigators. And they kind of plant things around college campuses or military bases. They lead people to Christ, and they teach them about the Word of God, but they're really big into Scripture study and Scripture memory. And so they give you this little pack of memory scripts. And this is one of the first scriptures I ever learned about taking thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And I used to repeat that thing and not have a clue what I was saying, other than if I knew it was a bad thought, I'd take it to the obedience of Christ. And one day I thought, what in the world does this even mean that I'm doing? And then the Lord began to show me that we take it to His finished work on the cross, that He defeated it. And that's basically what that means. So when we bring these things tonight and we go to the Eucharist and we get prayer tonight, what we're going to ask God to begin to do in our lives is to begin to destroy fortresses, because it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And this word fortresses really can be interpreted as a house of thoughts that we have in our lives. All of us have them. Every one of you in here, in some ways, has a fortress built up in your mind. It's a house of thoughts, a brick by brick of unhealthy thinking that the enemy has laid in your life that are just things that are not true. Okay? And these divine forces, which is the Holy Spirit God, will come and begin to destroy these things. And there's a word that Bishop's going to give, and I can't let you in on it very much, other than some things that happened through the death of Osama bin Laden and stuff. You know, the most wanted man, the top guy of the day. Anyway, our crying out to God, God is going to begin to really destroy strongholds in our lives that's been there for years, that we've lived with for so long. They've got a little bit of victory over, but they've been there for so long, we've just become comfortable with them that, hey, there's a strong tower, there's a castle there in my life, in my thought. It's just there. I'm going to learn to live around it, you know. God is going to come begin to destroy those things in our lives because they're raised up against the knowledge of God. They're unhealthy speculations about who He is, and He's going to really begin that in your life. So I really believe we're going to do some of that tonight. And the other thing, in Ephesians chapter 6, the other part of the famous warfare stuff, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might, and put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. That every one of you, and the word scheme is a plan or a system that is carefully put together. A plot or a plan that's carefully put together. And in your life, to make you feel, if you don't feel like you're important in the kingdom of God, you are. That every one of you, Satan plots against and plans, and there's a scheme against your life that's carefully put together to try to take you down or discourage you, or make you give up or do whatever it takes to make you feel that you're of no worth or value to God at all. Okay? These are the kind of things we're asking the Lord to do tonight. Lord, okay, begin to show me the schemes of the enemy. He gave me two dreams years ago during the headache time. And one of them is I went in like this underground, I guess it was kind of like a bunker or something. But when I got in there, there were these TV screens on each side. It's almost like a war room, a planning room. And the TV, it wasn't on, nothing was on. All of a sudden, these men came rushing in, found out that I had found out their lair, and I knew it had to do with the plans of the evil one. And then, I can't remember the rest of it, they tried to jump on me, we fought, you know, in the dream. The next dream was, I was guiding the ship through this tunnel in this, like, a river going through this place. Well, the next scene, I'm in this cave, and I'm peering through this little hole, and I'm watching these two men as they're making plans. And they both have their backs to me. One is short, kind of looks, he reminded me in the dream of, like, Napoleon, but he had on a suit of armor that was just one piece. You know, it was kind of smooth. The guy standing next to him was taller than him, and he's explaining something to him on this book. And I knew what they were doing is they were plotting and planning and making, you know, their whole war plan or their schemes. I knew that that was Satan in the dream. And I knew that that was his right-hand man. And that the Lord, they never knew I was there. And the Lord told me that through that dream that He would give me insight into the plans of the enemy. And I knew it had to do for you know, people I would minister to or whatever. Okay? So those are just coming back to me now. So I think this is just real important in what God's doing in our lives is that He exposed the schemes and the plans. You know, it says here, and there's a place in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 where Paul says, we're not ignorant to the schemes of the enemy. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant to the schemes of the enemy. In other words, He wants to reveal to us in our personal lives how He's scheming against us, to teach us how to stand firm against it. Three different places in Ephesians chapter 6, it'll say stand firm, you know, against the schemes of the devil. You know, after you've done everything to stand firm, gird your loins with the truth and all that stuff. Now, I'm not going to do the teaching tonight, but one time I will do about the armor of God, because, see, I'm convinced that the armor of God is actually a person and not things that float down on you. You know, because I wonder if you forget a piece of it. You know, if you don't go through it every day and put on every single piece of the armor, well, you're going to leave yourself, you know what I mean? But I really believe it's a person, because Scripture says also that we're in Christ, seated with Him in the heavenly places. So being in Christ is being in the armor of God, standing in His strength. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. But what we are going to do tonight is minister to each other and let Jesus come and minister to us and begin the wrecking ball process in our lives of tearing down these fortresses that have been built up, revealing the speculation of the plans of the enemy, and us seeing them like, whoa. And as part of that, Courtney's life this week, and you got that word from the Lord. You know, that was a part of God speaking to you, and but also revealing, hey, this enemy's been trying to take you away, right? So that's part of the deal. Amen. And so the Lord has hand-selected you this year. I really believe that. No doubt in my mind that y'all are here because He wants to do a work in your lives. And we'll minister to each other. Brent and I will do, we'll get up there and start the communion. But when y'all come down to take it, I want to ask y'all to stay at the altar rail. We're going to come lay hands on you and pray for you. If any of y'all have, I want us to all minister to each other. If you have a word for anyone or you want to particularly pray for someone, then I invite you to do that also. And we're just gonna have a good time in the Lord and let Him just do that. So that's been my sense all day, that He wanted to do some ministry to us and for us, help us with our struggles. Because I think we're at a time, and I heard Bishop Jones say this today, and I've been sensing it too. I think we're in a time like there's never been on the face of the earth as far as the kingdom of God. So He's just getting us ready. So if y'all would just want to get in kind of a meditative, just prayerful thing, just start talking to the Lord, I believe I'm just going to release right now just the, you know, that thing that the Lord's been talking about. Lord, that You would just reveal right now, begin to show us in our hearts and minds, Lord, the schemes of the evil one, his plans, how he's getting in there, Lord, whether it's through fear, unbelief, Lord, discouragement, depression, despair, Lord, all the ways in which, Lord, he's got an inroad into our life and we're not recognizing it. Lord, let us peek through the keyhole. Let us see what he's doing. Lord, you said to those who cry out to you and want it, that this would be a season where those things, those strongholds that have been in our life for years, will come down. Lord, just like Osama bin Laden, Lord, he thought he would never be exposed. He thought, Lord, that he, for the rest of his life, that he would live in safety from being found out, Lord. But he was exposed and he was found out and then taken out. So, Lord, in those places in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, that we've just become so comfortable living there that we're not even seeing it, reveal it. Lord, reveal all those places of our pride, Lord, of where we haven't Lord, anything we haven't yielded to you. Lord, just do that now. Minister to your people. We love you, Lord. Lord, you tell us the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful. And there's no greater warfare, Lord. What we're fixing to do in the Eucharist is our greatest weapon. Thank you, Lord. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.